Hello, everyone. Welcome, welcome. Thank you for joining. We're going to give folks just another minute to join on before we get started. Again, appreciate you joining today. We'll get started shortly. Okay. Hello, everyone. Welcome. Thank you so much for joining today. My name is Chelsea Parsons, and I am a consultant with Guidehouse supporting CDC's One Lab initiative. A couple of notes about the webinar before we dive in. If you have any technical issues throughout, please feel free to email our inbox at onelab@cdc.gov. That's onelab@cdc.gov. We'll have someone monitoring that throughout the session in case any technical issues come up. You can also feel free to email that email address if you have any questions following the session. As questions arrive throughout the session, you'll notice in the bottom pane of your Zoom chat that you have a Q&A function down there. So click open that Q&A function, put in any questions you have throughout the presentation for our presenter or for anything related to One Lab, and we will do a Q&A session at the end of the presentation, try to get to as many of those questions as we can. If you do have any questions that arise after the session or that we don't get to today, we'll try our very best to respond to you via our One Lab email. All right. Note that I've posted a link to live captions in the chat. If you need to use those today, you're more than welcome. Open up that link, but just keep this Zoom link open as well, and you can follow along on both. So let's get into our agenda for today's session. We're going to pass it over to Alicia Branch, the One Lab Network lead. She's going to talk to you guys about a couple resources and introduce today's presenter. We're very lucky to have Ms. Miranda Scott of the Division of Laboratory Systems here today for our session. We'll go through the main presentation, and then we'll have that Q&A like I mentioned at the end, and then we'll let you know what our next event is coming up next month in April. So I will go ahead and turn it over to our One Lab Network lead, Alicia Branch.
Thanks, Chelsea. Before we begin the main presentation, I'd like to take a moment to share a helpful resource. It's the One Lab Rapid Education and Capacity Building Hub, or REACH. It's a targeted and customized learning management system for laboratory professionals. We consider this a laboratory professional's one-stop shop for all relevant laboratory resources in various formats, including videos, downloadable and printable job aids, and courses for PACE credit, including the Introduction to Clinical Laboratory Improvement Amendments of 1988 course related to today's network event. Next slide, please. CDC, our planners and presenters wish to disclose that we have no financial interest or other relationships with manufacturers of commercial products, suppliers of commercial services, and supporters. And I'm excited today to introduce our speaker, Ms. Miranda Scott. Miranda is a skilled clinical laboratory scientist in the Division of Laboratory Systems at the CDC with an impressive 15 years of experience in laboratory testing, quality, and safety. She is pivotal in enhancing laboratory practices, policies, and regulations. As a former CMS, CLIA surveyor, and CDC Select Agent Inspector, Miranda has demonstrated her laboratory compliance and regulations expertise. Her extensive knowledge of laboratory procedures and safety standards has enabled her to provide invaluable guidance to laboratory staff across various settings. Her commitment to excellence in laboratory science is matched only by her passion for serving her community and advancing public health. Our One Lab Network presenter for today, Ms. Miranda Scott.
Thank you, Alicia. Hey, good afternoon, everyone, and thank you all for joining the One Lab Network event. As Alicia said, I'm Miranda Scott, Clinical Laboratory Sciences with the Division of Laboratory Systems. Today, I'll be presenting the survey process, what you need to know for your CLIA survey. The mission of DLS is to improve public health, patient outcomes, and health equity by advancing laboratory systems. Just a brief overview of my background. As Alicia stated, I was a former Select Agent Program Inspector. I then moved on to CMS to be a CMS CLIA Surveyor in the CMS Atlanta office. And then I returned back to CDC in 2022 as a Clinical Laboratory Scientist with the Division of Laboratory Systems. Today, during my presentation, I will discuss the survey process, which will include getting ready for a CLIA survey, what surveyors expect when they arrive on site, the outcome of the survey and what that means, and then provide you with resources that are available to everyone. This presentation will be given from a point of view of a recertification survey is being done for a laboratory that has a certificate of compliance. However, if you are a lab that has a certificate of accreditation, you will find some of this information valuable. So let's jump right into it, getting ready for the survey process. In this section, I'm going to go over how surveyors get ready, what the laboratory needs to do to prepare, and then who is responsible. So first thing, a CMS surveyor. I know there's a misconception that all that a CMS surveyor does is survey laboratories, but there's a lot that a lot of people don't know that happens behind the scenes. So I'm just going to give like a brief 101 just to get us started in this presentation. Now, CMS surveyors have to overlook the state agency. Each state has a CLIA office, which has state surveyors, and those surveyors have to be trained by the CMS surveyors. They have to go in and make sure that they are up to code. They also have to perform state agency performance review. A lot of criteria sent down, any of the applications that are received, the CMS 116, the state offices have to enter those into a database. And so the CMS surveyor has to ensure that all that criteria, all the data is correct. And then they have to send that information back up to CMS Baltimore. They perform complaint investigation. Those complaints can come in by a person, they can come in through the state agency, they can come in by their accrediting organization, but CMS surveyors do have to perform state investigation, complaint investigation. And then there are the enforcement actions. And what I mean by enforcement actions is when a laboratory has to be sanctioned for non-compliance. An example of that would be if PT referral happens. But today we're going to focus on surveys. So how does a surveyor prepare? The first thing that they have to do, they have to make sure that the fees have been paid for a survey. They have to ensure that the laboratory CLIA certificate does not expire. And so in the background, before they even arrive on site, they're checking the information that's in the database. Did the laboratory pay their survey fee? Let me pull the information from the last survey, the CMS 116, the 209. Did they have a 2567 that had deficiencies? If they did, let me review the plan of correction to make sure that those issues were addressed. Were there any recommendations from the last survey that a surveyor actually wrote down to keep to remind themselves when we're on site next time, I need to look at those recommendations. What was the last test volume of the survey? How many specialties does this laboratory have? And then they're going to pull the proficiency test report and see, has the laboratory had any issues performing PT? Does the laboratory have any open enforcement cases? And so they're gathering this information before they even contact the labs that they're coming on site to do a survey. Now, I want to answer a poll question. Would your laboratory be ready for survey if it was conducted 1 year before the CLIA certificate expired? And I think we're going to actually do a poll. Okay. So I didn't see the poll pop up, but I think, oh, there it is. Give me a second just to answer. The majority of you saying yes, you'll be ready, which is good. Okay. Okay, so most of y'all say yes, you'll be ready for a survey if it was to take place a year before your CLIA certificate expired, which is good. And the reason why I bring that up is because in the song, which is chapter 6, which is entitled Special Procedures for Laboratory, it states that a recertification survey can occur at least 6 months prior to the expiration date of the laboratory's current certificate, but no earlier than 12 months. And so preparing for a survey doesn't start when you get the email or the phone call that the surveyors want to come on site. It is a daily process of preparing, and you have to stay ready. So when that time comes, you're not just rushing around trying to get ready. Now, the CMS 116, you've gotten the email, a phone call from the surveyor, they're set the date. What are the things that the laboratory needs to do to start the process of preparing? Get your CMS 116 in order with the most current and accurate information. This is the laboratory director's name, email address, telephone number, addresses, test volume, specialties, analytes, the manufacturers. All of that information is put on the CMS 116. When you complete this, send it back to the CMS surveyor, because this helps them in the preparation process to see if anything has changed since the last survey. And if it has, they can go ahead and start making a mental note of what they need to do, if they need to bring in more surveyors because your test volume has went up. Do they have to stay an extra day? If they did 3 days last time, do we have to do 5 now because they have a larger test volume, more specialties? So get that information to them as soon as possible. This information is also entered into the database. So we want to be very current and accurate. Next is your CMS 209. You know, usually when they contact you, they're sending you the link or a PDF of the 116 and the CMS 209. When you get that, go ahead and fill it out. Fill out your 209 with the personnel that are performing tests in the laboratory. And it's not just tests. This is all the personnel that are the laboratory director, the clinical consultant, the technical supervisor, the general supervisor, the testing personnel. They have to be listed on the CMS 209. Now, one tip or one suggestion would be to separate your 209 out based on your specialties or subspecialty. What that does, it will allow the surveyor, when they come on site and they have to qualify and they have to review competency and training for your personnel, they're able to go through it a little quicker because it's organized by the specialty. And most surveyors are not surveying the entire laboratory. They might be surveying one section. I might come on site with four other surveyors and I'm responsible for surveying virology. So if you have a 209 with just those individuals who are working in virology, it'll allow me to go faster and more organized when it comes to reviewing training competency for your personnel. Next, a test directory. Have your test directory current, ready to go. Clearly indicate what test was added since the last survey. Include the instrument, the kit name. Having this information up front and before a survey allows the surveyor to know how many validations they will have to be reviewed. And then it helps them to plan what section they might need to go to first, because it's going to take a little more time in that area if a new test has been brought on since the last survey. Now, here's the critical piece. Your procedures, your policy, and your documents. And hopefully I put the high points, but there's probably a lot of procedures, policies, and documents that you have to have. But these are like most of the high points. All tests, assays, and examinations, including package insert, dated, signed, IQCP procedures, textbooks if you adopt those, reference laboratory, client services manuals, records of tests referred to other laboratories, have those documents ready, organized in folders, in binders, ready to go. Then the personnel record. Any board of certifications for your laboratory director, any certifications for any of your personnel that you have listed on the CMS 209, diplomas, degrees, and transcripts. A lot of individuals forget the transcript portion, and that will help a surveyor out. If a degree only says Bachelor of Science, then Bachelor of Science in what? That's why a transcript is needed. So go ahead and get that already together before the surveyors arrive. Training records, competency assessment. Then proficiency testing. This test runs with PT results, printouts, signed attestation sheets. The surveyor is going to want to see where there has been review of unsatisfactory results. Even the results that have 100, you still need to review. And then any twice a year verification. And that's when there's no PT available for any of the non-wave tests that are listed in subpart I, then you do a twice a year verification. Moving on to your quality control records, calibration verification records, any of the Levi Jennings charts, remedial action information, instrument maintenance and function checks. Have those documents ready, procedures, policies, anything regarding quality control should be prepped and ready to go. Then quality assessment. It's policies and procedures to monitor, assess, and correct problems, and then documentation of the ongoing assessment of those activities. So for subpart K of the regulations, and that's the general laboratory systems, pre-analytic, analytic, and post-analytic, you have to have a QA plan and documents for each of those sections. Have that ready to go and ready to review. And then patient test records, that's requisition, any of the direct printouts, and then your test reports. You should have that ready to go. And then it's a 2 year, within 2 years or within the last survey cycle, all those documents should be prepped and ready to go before the surveyors come on site. Now, one second, I'm sorry. Who is responsible when it comes to preparing for a survey? And it's really all hands on deck. And the reason I say that is because everybody plays a critical piece in preparing for a survey. It's not just your laboratory personnel that are listed on the CMS 2209. It's also the individuals who do shipping and receiving, the IT individuals, and then anybody in human resources. You say, why shipping and receiving? they're receiving in the specimens. If you're getting specimens shipped in, surveyors are going to go to that area to see and ask questions to make sure that those individuals have been trained correctly. Even though they're not listed on the CMS 209 as a testing personnel, they still touch that specimen. There are still procedures that they have to follow. When it comes to IT, they're going to want to ask questions about the laboratory information system. How are you ensuring that your test reports are going across correctly? And then with human resources, they're probably keeping most of your documents as far as personnel, whether it's the degrees, the transcripts, and things like that. And so you don't want the surveyors to get on site and now all of a sudden you can't get your hands on any of those documents because the human resources individual is out on vacation. You want to make sure you keep an open line of communication with all these individuals when you're preparing for a survey, because they're going to be also a part of the process. Now we're going to move to the surveyors are here. You've gone through, you've gotten all your documentation together. The surveyors are arriving, it's survey day. In this section, we're going to go over the opening meeting, the tour, and the review. But first, I have another poll question for you. How frequently does your laboratory conduct internal assessments to evaluate the effectiveness of your quality management system? Quarterly, semi-annually, annually, and we do not conduct internal assessments. I see. It's either between quarterly or annually. Just a few that say they don't conduct internal assessments. Give you a few more minutes. Okay. So, great. Between quarterly and annually are where we have. The reason I ask this question is because I've gone to a lot of laboratories that might not even conduct an internal assessment, but it's a good process to go ahead and have in your laboratory. You want to know what's going on in your laboratory before the surveyors arrive. And that's one thing that surveyors do look at. Have they gone in and done their own internal survey? When a surveyor is on site and you're shocked that, oh, I didn't know that competency wasn't done. How did you miss it? You should have done your own internal assessment. So if you don't have that implemented in your procedures right now, I think that's a good idea to go ahead and implement internal assessments. Now for the opening meeting. You set the tone, you know, be polite, be cordial, professional, approachable. Get ready for your surveyors to get there. Invite your laboratory staff. It doesn't have to be everybody, but you want your key players, the director, the technical supervisors, general supervisors, your quality manager. Let them come to the opening and then prepare to give updates. Any facility changes since the last survey, any added specialties or new tests. Do you have a new TS or a GS, that's the technical supervisor or the general supervisor? Are there individuals new? Let all that information come out during the opening meeting. And then allow surveyors to discuss the survey flow. How long will a survey be? Do they want to do an in-depth tour before they get started, or do they want to just go each individual and do a tour of only the areas that they'll be surveying? And then they're going to tell you what records they want to review. And then they might already have an idea of who they want to interview when they start that interview process. Now the tour. So it's tour time. Surveyors normally like to do a facility tour all together right after the opening meeting. You don't need everybody in the laboratory following the surveyors around. You can just appoint key people to take the surveyors to different areas. This is the observation and information gathering part of the survey. And they're going to really want to start from how the specimens come in, specimen collection and processing. Then they're going to go to the prep areas and the storage areas, and then testing and reporting areas. When it comes to the facility tour, have people in the laboratory. A lot of times labs think, let me clear everybody out. Don't want anybody working. No, have people available in those areas. They surveyors want to see people working. They want to, you know, engage with your laboratory personnel when they're doing that walkthrough. Now, I'm going to insert a quick little story time. I was on a survey, and I haven't surveyed since 2019 when I was a CMS surveyor. And I'm walking through a laboratory to do just the walkthrough. And I'm engaging with the individuals. I'm talking to them. I do a quick interview, and I have other surveyors with me. I get back into the room to do a record review, and a lawyer comes in. And they're just like, you can't talk to anybody else. If you want to talk to somebody, you need to tell us the name, and then we'll approve if you can speak to that person. That's not how surveys go. It's not that you tell the surveyor who they can speak to. It's the surveyor can say, this is who I want to speak to if they're available. So do not block surveyors from having that interview with personnel. That's a very important piece in the information gathering of on the survey. So next, it's the review process. You've done all the prep work. You've gotten all those documents that we talked about from, I think it was a few of the earlier slides, slide 13 and 14, where we talked about the quality control, quality assessment, proficiency testing. You've had all that information together. That information should be ready to go when the surveyors are done with that facility tour. Surveyors want to walk in and see where there's binders, there's information, there are folders ready to go. If you're thinking, I'm just going to wait until they ask for it, don't let the surveyor wait. They're on a time limit. They have a lot of things to review. Get those documents together and already in a room for them when they arrive on site. So you have your PT, that's the part H. They're going to review the test runs and the PT results and the printouts, all the signed attestation sheet, remedial actions, and twice a year verification. Have it all laid out, organized, labeled. If they get in the room and they're going through binders and they can't find things, then they're going to be calling you saying, where's this? Help me locate this. And you don't want that, because now the surveyor is thinking, if I can't find it and they're having a hard time finding it, then it's probably going to be some issues. They probably don't have all their checks and balances in place. So take that time before a survey starts to get all of your documents organized. That's very important. It helps the flow of the survey go much smoother. Facility, they're going to be walking through. When they do that walkthrough, they're looking at the space. They're looking at safety. They're looking at ventilation. They're going to look at those documents too. Contamination procedures, retention. Are you keeping your records for 2 years? Can they say, bring me this document from 2 years ago and you're able to put your hands on it? And then the quality system was just subpart K. That's the general laboratory systems, the pre-analytic systems, analytic systems, post-analytic, and then the quality assessment piece. Now, on that same survey where I was blocked from doing an interview, I had another issue to arise, and it was me trying to get documents. I was going through the tour. I said, can I see this binder? It was 4 hours before that binder actually made it to me. And I'm sitting in the room and I'm just waiting and waiting and waiting. Where is the binder that I pointed out when I was walking through the tour? They had taken the binder to go and do their own review before they bring it to me to make sure that they had all the documents that they were supposed to have. And that's holding up your surveyor. All that should have been done prior to the surveyors arriving on site. And so now you have surveyors sitting in the room for 4 hours without documents, and they're on a time limit. So when I finally get the binder, now I see what's the real issue. It's because they haven't really mitigated things. It was the binder for their near misses. They were just writing it down. So now I'm asking questions. And this was a certificate of accreditation. So if you're a lab that has a COA, don't think that a CMS surveyor cannot be on site. Complaint investigations happen all the time and they can show up unannounced. And so I'm going through the binder and now I'm asking questions. This was a blood bank. I see where blood has been picked up for transfusion. It goes up to the operating room. And when the nurse is getting ready to hang it to do the transfer, she realizes this is not the correct patient. Okay, she brings it back down to the laboratory. Well, how does this happen? Were your checks and balances? Were your procedures not followed? And everyone's looking at me as if, why is she asking these questions? And this is information I need to know, because you have a quality assessment plan. Did you go back and say, now that we see that blood can be issued to the wrong patient, now we need to go back and address our procedure for issuing blood? No, none of that had been done. And then I see where it happens again. So now I'm asking more questions. Let me see your procedure manual. Was this not followed? What did you do in the process? What have you changed? And nothing had been done. And they're giving me answers like, well, we didn't have a quality manager at the time. And we didn't have this. And where there was nobody in the laboratory to issue blood. And so the nurse just picked up the cooler through the window. All of these questions, you're not following your procedures. So I'm making a mental check of, this is gonna have to end up being a citation. I finally say, okay, where's your QA plan? What changed? Nothing had changed. The quality manager was new. She was like, oh, I wrote up something. It hasn't been approved by the laboratory director. At this point, this happened 8 months ago. And you're still telling me that you haven't made any changes? Well, the regulations say that you have to review the effectiveness of your corrective actions. You haven't put any corrective actions in your procedure. Like, you haven't done anything. So now it's going to be a citation. So you have to think about all of that. Have your documents already reviewed. You need to go through them before the surveyors do, because they're going to start asking questions. And you can't wait until they're on site. You have to do that before. And then for your personnel, training records, competency, any of the degrees and diplomas, have that information already ready to go. You don't want surveyors just sitting in a room waiting for you to bring them documents, because that is not a good look on the laboratory. So now, survey is over. They're ready to do the closeout. So, our last poll question, do you attend closeout meetings for your survey? Okay. Yes. I'm seeing yes. Good. Okay. So the closeout, the surveyors have gone through all the documents. They've asked a lot of questions to gather the information. Now, it is an outcome-oriented survey process. So they're not looking at every piece of paper, but they're gauging and getting a good idea of what has been going on within the last 2 years or when the last survey happened. Most of the time, laboratory directors or the technical supervisors would say, can you tell me the findings before we do the closeout meeting? Because they don't want to be alarmed. They don't want to be shocked. And that's okay to ask surveyors to do that because they will. They will go over what their findings are. Now, they might not tell you verbatim what DTAG, what citation it will be. A lot of times that takes place on the back end when they return back to their home site and they're going through all the documents again before they start writing the report, what they're actually going to cite, if there are citations. But I highly encourage laboratories to let everyone be involved in that closeout process. Let the testing personnel come. Let the shipping and receiving individuals come. They need to understand why that survey process is so important. So important. I was a bench tech for several years before I even became a CMS surveyor. And I always heard surveyors are coming, inspectors are coming, we gotta get ready, but was never actually involved in that getting ready process. When I became a CMS surveyor, it changed the way I really looked at the work that I was doing on the bench. It gave me a better understanding of why these documents had to be a certain way, why, you know, I was initialing here and making sure I didn't do this. And it's very important. Get all of your testing personnel involved. I think CLIA is not taught when you're in med tech school, and I'm showing my age because we call them med tech, but clinical laboratory scientists, that information is not taught. And so getting them involved in that process and letting them see what the surveyors are really there doing is not just making sure the countertops are clean, that you're wearing your lab coat and your gloves, because most of the time they're kind of looking over that. It's the quality piece, it's the documentation that is very, very important. And just letting them be sitting in on that closeout meeting, I think is a very good idea for any laboratory when you're doing the closeout meeting. And once you get to the closeout meeting, you know, listen to the findings. Don't be argumentative. If you know that there was documentation that the surveyor may just didn't look at, you can bring that to them before they leave that building and say, hey, I heard you say that this was going to be maybe a citation, but we do have that documentation. That's okay. You can do that. And ask questions to get clarity. Now, a lot of laboratories are in the thought process of the surveyors are going to come, they're going to tell us what we did wrong, and then they're going to tell us how to fix it. But that's not it. They're going to come, they're going to tell you what you did wrong. Now, when I write the report, you have to tell the surveyors how you're going to fix it. I often will hear that, I just want you all to tell me what you wanted us to do. And that's not what a CMS surveyor does. They don't tell you what to do. It's up to your organization to sit down and make that decision of how you're going to go about this process to get into compliance. Now, when it comes to citations, I just want to quickly show you two things. And both of these documents come from the interpretive guidelines, but they're going to put a link in the chat later on in the next section. There's a decision-making process that actually takes place when surveyors are trying to decide, are they going to cite, are they not going to cite? And then there are some mandatory citations that regardless, this has to be cited. And that comes from qualifications of personnel. When those individuals are not qualified, CMS survey, they have to cite that on the CMS 2567. Then, like I said, there's a decision-making process. So if they're seeing, oh, for 2 days you didn't run QC, but you only ran 5 patients, 9 times out of 10, they're not going to cite that on the report. Now, if for 2 weeks you didn't run quality control and you've tested 500 patients, that's probably going to be a citation. So it's an outcome survey process. Not every little thing will be cited. They have to look at the bigger picture of it. Does this have a big effect on the laboratory and the quality of testing? If it doesn't, then they're not going to cite it. They're going to bring it to your attention, though, so you can be aware of it and you can monitor that those things going forward. And they're going to give you recommendations. And also PT referral. PT referral is a citation no matter what. No matter if you're saying, oh, I didn't mean to, it was an accident, it has to be cited and you will be sanctioned for it. But that's a whole nother discussion. Now, you get the report, CMS 2567. Some people have never seen it. Some people usually get it and it might say that they were in compliance with clear regulations. And then those are those moments where you get one and you have citations that you have to address. When the surveyor gets back to their home office, they're going to write the 2567, which is the report. And I just wanted to point out how it's laid out. You have a D tag, which is the D tag is on the far left in that column. It's found in the IG, that's the interpretive guidelines. In the next column, you have your CFR or your Code of Federal Regulations, which is the regulatory language. This is what the regulations say. And then the surveyor is going to write the deficient practice statement. It explains why the laboratory was not in compliance. So when you get the report, that's how the breakdown is. And then you're going to respond depending on if you have condition level deficiencies or just standard level deficiencies. If it's standard level deficiencies, it's going to be your plan of correction. If it's condition level deficiencies, it's the allegation of compliance. But here are the 4 questions or statements that you have to respond to. I had a friend not too long ago, she received her first 2567. She was just like, what do I do? I don't even know how to respond to this. And so I had to point her in the right direction. This is what you need. And it's just not words, it's also documentation that goes along with it, describing the corrective actions that have taken place. If you have to go back and show where you tested 500 patients, then you need to be sending that information to along with your 2567 response. All that information needs to go along with it. So make sure that you're if you have a 2567 that you have to respond to, that these 4 points are addressed. And you don't have to put it in that column on the side. You can do it as an attachment. That's okay. But that has to be addressed. Now we're going to go into resources. And this is where a lot of different websites and things and links that I think a lot of people don't know about. They kind of have an idea, but I think it's just very, very good to point out. First thing is the CMS website. I didn't know about CMS website until I became a CMS surveyor. So I think it's very important because you go on site and you notice that a lot of laboratories don't know where to find that clear information. You're going to go to cms.gov. Click on regulations and guidance, and then click on CLIA Laboratory Improvement, CLIA. From there, you're going to get this screen, and it has a lot of information listed on the side I have 2 screens, so I'm sorry, I'm looking this way too. CLIA brochures, you have your how to apply for CLIA certificate, the laboratory registry, proficiency testing programs. You can find your state agency, CLIA operation contact. All of that is listed on the CMS CLIA website. You got to know where this is and where the information is. One thing I wanted to point out was the CLIA brochures. CMS has written out brochures for PT referral, verification and performance specifications, calibration, and LD responsibilities, competency, and so on. They have brochures that will give you information on those different areas. So just want to know, let you know where that information is. And I think they should have dropped the CMS website in the chat. Interpretive guideline. A lot of people don't know this exists, but it does. If you go to interpretive guidelines on the left-hand column, you're going to get a page that looks like this, which is Appendix C. It's that Psalm 107 Appendix C Lab PDF. What that is going to be the clear regulations, the DTags, and then a lot of probing and background information. Now, surveyors do not survey off of the interpretive guidelines. It's just that a guidance document for laboratories of putting them in the right frame of mind of what I need to have prepared, what the surveyor may possibly look at when they come on site. And it is a great tool for all laboratories to use, whether it's your COC or COA. Next, the CDC CLIA page. And this page is actually operated by the Division of Laboratory Systems. And as Alicia pointed out before we got started, there is a free online CLIA training. Listen, have all of your laboratorians, clinical staff, to take this training. This is an introduction to CLIA. It will give them the information, a lot of background information, and it should be a part of your training process that when you hire on new staff, sit down and take this CLIA training. Think that will really help bridge a lot of gaps when it comes to that laboratory information. Now, also found on that website, you have your CLIA regulations. You can get to them from the CMS website, but they're also listed on the CDC CLIA website. Any of those CLIA documents, test complexities. If you're trying to figure out what's the test complexity of this new test that we're going to have, if you click on the link, it's going to link you to FDA. FDA is the agency that is responsible for doing test complexities. And then you can search any laboratory. You can search laboratories from the CMS website, and then they also have that information on the CDC CLIA site. Another button that I want you to be aware of on this page is the email for CMS. If you click on it, it's going to directly take you to email in the Lab Excellence mailbox. If you have any questions regarding CLIA, anything regarding your survey, you can email CMS. It goes to Lab Excellence, a Lab Excellence email, and individuals will respond to you. That they want you. They want you to reach out. A lot of people don't know that. Reach out to your CLIA surveyors. It's fine. And then a lot of people don't know that the Laboratory Improvement Advisory Committee. They have meetings twice a year, November and April. The next meeting is scheduled for April, I think it's 12th and 13th. So right, it's coming up in a few weeks. If you want to join in and listen to the advisory committee as they go over different and make recommendations as far as CLIA, you can do that. I highly encourage everyone to go ahead and listen in on the next call. There might be some topics that might just be of your, that you might find important. So this is the CDC CLIA site. And lastly, is APHL. A lot of people don't know that the Public Health Laboratory, they have so many resources when it comes to CLIA. Some of the things that I didn't even know when I was a CLIA surveyor, but I found out once I transitioned over to CDC, and I think you will find it highly, highly helpful. Two things I wanted to point out. They have a high complexity testing checklist, and it lists all the requirements. And then they also have the radiobioassay and biomonitoring laboratory checklist for LRN. So those are two resources that you can find on the APHL website, which is APHL.org, and they should be dropping that also in the chat for that link. And I just wanted to briefly show you that first document, which is the high complexity. It goes through all of the CLEAR regulations, and they have it laid out so well. This document is fairly new. I think it was created 2021, 2022, but it's laid out from facilities and safety. It's color-coded. It has the D-tags, the regulations. If you are new to surveying and laboratories, this is a great document to do your internal inspections for yourself. If, as you can see, the color codes, clinical consultant is in red, you have your technical supervisor in orange, laboratory director was in purple. So great, great tool. Lastly, and this is the last slide, if you haven't learned anything else, documentation is so important when it comes to a CLIA survey. But the one thing that you do need to equip yourself to have a successful survey is knowing the regulations and knowing where to find it, having those interpretive guidelines. That is very, very important. When you have that and you have nowhere to refer to, you will do well when it comes to doing going through a CLIA survey. If you have any questions, I know we're going to have a short question and answer section, but feel free to reach out to me directly. My email address is juz2@cdc.gov. I'll be happy to help you. If I don't know the answer, I will point you into the right direction. And I thank you all so much for joining. I hope this was helpful, helpful information. So I'm going to turn it back over to Alicia.
Thanks, Miranda. Let's just take a few questions. There are quite a few questions about, you know, everything being electronic. Is it okay for laboratories to have everything electronic, or should they actually print things out?
No, it's actually okay for laboratories to have each electronic document. A lot of laboratories were moving that way before I left CMS. And sometimes it makes it just easier for the surveyor to just click and go through. So if your laboratory chooses to have electronic document, just make sure that they're current and that the surveyors can access it to go through it.
Okay. There's another question about what type of procedures, policies, and documents do the CLIA want regarding IT LIM system? They're especially curious about security documentation requirements.
Okay, so when it comes to the LIM system, you want to just have a procedure just to state if your LIS goes down, if your LIM systems goes down, what happens? When your test reports are going over electronically, what's the procedure to ensure that they have gotten to their destination correctly? What do you have in your process? Do you go in every quarter just to do a review check, having the laboratories to send that information back to you to make sure that they have it correctly? Hopefully that answers it. If not, like I said, reach out to the Lab Excellence mailbox.
Okay. Let's see. There's a question about, are there any legal authorities requiring an interview or interviewing specific personnel, or is that just good practice?
Are there any legal
requirements?
No, it's just, no. They could just really talk to whoever's in the laboratory. That was my first experience of someone actually shutting me down from actually interviewing. And I took it because it was a certificate of accreditation. So they probably wasn't used to the survey process of a CMS surveyor. Normally attorneys don't get involved. That was my first experience of that too. And so because there was so much pushback and because it was a complaint investigation, I knew what I was there looking for. I was going to find it anyway. I didn't even have to talk to anybody.
Someone wants to know what level of involvement a safety manager or department in should be in a CLIA lab?
Well, it just depends. Normally from a CLIA, normally from CLIA, we really don't get involved with the safety managers. We may ask a question or two, but yeah. Okay. That might be also a question for CMS.
If the inspection date is delayed, what should be done to have the compliance with the certificate end date?
Now, if an inspection date is delayed, CMS is going to take care of that. They're going to make sure that your certificate does not expire. They cannot allow it to expire. And I know a lot of you all probably experienced that when it came to the public health emergency. They're going to make sure that it doesn't expire. Okay. So you don't have to worry about it on your end. They're going to take care of it on their end.
Let's see. Someone wants to know, if we get an unannounced CLIA inspection, are we allowed to ask the surveyors what the complaint was?
You can ask them. They probably won't tell you. They probably won't tell you. When I was on that complaint investigation, I didn't let them know what the complaint was and who it came from. They just knew it was a complaint investigation. And that one actually came in from the AO. So don't think you're safe because, oh, I'm CAP or I'm Joint Commission. They can submit complaints to CMS.
Okay. And we'll take one last question. We are a moderately complex cancer group with multiple sites that staff 1 to 2 medical assistants that rotate across sites. These sites have their own CLIA paths, but the procedures, training, competencies are identical. Do training and competency need to be performed at each site? Will one site perform all paths, sign one document?
If it has a different CLIA number, then they have to have training at each location.
Yeah. Well, I'll take this one last one and then I'll be done. Does bioinformatics Okay. I guess they want to know if the bioinformatics personnel perform a high complexity test be treated as personnel?
And I really think that's an ongoing discussion because it's kind of hard to qualify them. So I don't want to say yes. That may be a question also. And I, like I said, tune into the CLIAC. That might be a discussion on it when it comes to bioinformatics. But yeah.
They want to know.
You might have some information.
And I think that'll be all the questions we'll take today. The remaining questions we'll actually try to provide them by email at a later date.
And like I said, please feel free to reach out to me directly. It's JUZ2@cdc.gov, and I'll be happy to assist anyone and point them in the right direction.
I'll say thank you again, Miranda, for this helpful information. This truly would have been helpful for me when I had my first clinical lab job. I literally had nightmares during the first survey. Well, I'd also like to let all the participants know that you'll receive one PACE credit for this webinar today. In order to receive the PACE credit, you need to go to the link in the chat and complete the evaluation within 2 weeks. As a reminder, the slides with the links will be posted to www.cdc.gov/onelab within the next 2 weeks. And lastly, I would like to briefly highlight the next OneLab event, which is identifying and recognizing select agents or toxins. It will be held on April 26, 2023 at 1 p.m. The registration link should be posted in the chat. And again, I'd like to say thank you again, Miranda, and thank you for joining us. Have a great rest of your day.